down to verse 11.
1 Timothy chapter 6.
Looking at verses 6
down to verse 11 for our lesson this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 down to verse 11. And we want to look at a question. Probably have thought about it before and may have had studies on this type of subject before, but we want to look at it tonight. In looking at a question of, is gambling sinful? And looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, looking at verse 6 down to verse 11 is where we're going to begin, where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Maybe you've heard of these terms before. Get the raffle. Bingo. Got the chances, or the little pull tab cards that I've seen here around at some of the gas stations. You got the scratch and win lottery. You got gaming. You have casinos, racinos. Our country is overwhelmed with the opportunities to gamble. I had a situation. It's funny now looking back on it, but it wasn't funny at the time when when Mom and Dad had talked to me. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I had a situation where Mom worked for Kroger down in West Virginia, and we would go over there on Thursday night. She got paid, and we'd go over there and visit, and Mom would always give us a dollar to go to the spend the store, get a couple piece of candy or a drink or something. For a little bit of time, I've been seeing this as we get up to the front. You've seen them at grocery stores before, where they have those nice light up machines and everything, and everybody's got their dollars. They put it in, they push the button for some, and here comes a ticket dispensed out the bottom. Again, Mom gave me my dollar, and you can see where this is going. Unsupervised as well, you know, we were able to, Mom would work in the deli counter, she'd give us her money, and then we'd go usually to the cash register, get our stuff, then come back and spend a little bit of time with Mom before she had to go back in for work. Well, this one time I decided I was going to continue on, go past the cash registers, and I went up to those brightly lit machines that catches a child's eye. I got my dollar, put my dollar in the machine, and I pushed one of the buttons. And guess what? A ticket came out. So I take it to the cash register and everything, and I said, well, what am I supposed to do with it now? You know, I got this. What am I supposed to do? Well, I said, you're supposed to scratch it off. So she grabbed a penny. She scratched it off. Lo and behold, I won $5. Well, what am I supposed to do with it now? Well, you're supposed to go up to the guest desk services, and they'll take care of them there. Now, what should have happened was they should have took that ticket and just... But you know what? They gave me my $5. So what do? I go running back to Mom and Dad as fast as I can, holding a $5 bill in my hand. Look what I've got! Look what happened to me! I'm rich! Mom just turned a ghostly shade of pale. Dad's over there, he turned 50 shades of red. And I'm just, you know, innocent, I don't know what's going on. Well, afterward, Mom and Dad took me aside, explained to me what was going on. And said, well, you know, this is not what you should be doing with your money. And explained it to me. We're We can look at some of the, and we'll look at some of these verses as well to kind of help us understand this as well tonight. But took me aside. I felt awful after that. Had that $5, and it was just staring at me for about a week. I felt so bad. Next thing you know, the next Sunday came around, and I just put the $5 bill in the collection plate, over and done. And I can say to this day, I retired as a winner in the lottery. But you've heard of those things. You've heard of these different types of tickets. Our country is overwhelmed with the opportunities to get thousands here. You know, the offer is thousands here, millions there. Somebody's got to win. Gambling is becomes sometimes looked at as a hard word or a harsh word. And so they soften it by using the term of legalized lottery. The Ohio State Lottery has several different games. And looking at some of this, trying to get pulling some sort of statistics, is that they have had a revenue of almost $6 billion just in tickets. And I'm not including, you know, as we've seen in our state where we've had the legalized casinos and all these other types of things that have come along with that. In just the lottery sales tickets alone, it's hard to pull up some of the numbers. But $6 billion in just lottery tickets in revenue. That's a lot of money to throw away. When you really open your eyes, you know, some people say, well, it's just a dollar. But really, when you look at it, it's not really just a dollar anymore. You know, the Bible, we ask the question, does the Bible condemn such activities? And I want to look at this tonight. Because we search the Scriptures and know and will know what God expects of us in this and in any other situation. Some people will look at gambling and say, well, that's just a small sin. Not every sin also has a thou shalt not, as we were talking about this morning. But the Bible does tell us how to develop our senses in order to discern both good and evil. And let's begin off thinking. Kind of going along with what one of our points was this morning. It says that the Bible does not say thou shalt not play the lottery. Perhaps as we look at this, you know, some people will look at that and, well, it doesn't say it word for word, so that means it's all right. Perhaps not specifically, the Bible does not say that. But it is, however, condemned on its principles. What are the principles, or what is the agenda of gambling? Now, as we think about this, let's just talk about it on the part of the lottery business. To feed on public greed. Yes, they want to try to say, well, we're raising this money. We're going to give some of the proceeds to education, to schools. And I know that they have done that over time. But instead, why don't we just say, if you're going to spend all that money on this, why don't we just give those monies to the education? But the lottery business feeds on public's greed. To have more ticket revenue. Rather than have more ticket revenue than the price paid. Barely, and again, we look at statistics, barely more than half of the ticket revenue is ever paid out in wins. But also on the part of the public. For those that are spending that money, you look at that, you get something for nothing. You put a dollar in and you go, oh, well, I'm going to try to get, you know, $50,000 back or something of that nature. Or to some, it is to get as much money as possible for as little effort possible. One of the focuses in the lottery is that it is greed. And we talk about the Bible. The Bible speaks clearly on these things when we figure out greed. Greed is covetousness. Look at greed in the light of the Scripture. Let's look at some Scripture together. First of all, in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 down to verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 down to verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 down to verse 32. It says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, we talk about some people will look at that and say, it's just a little, sin, not that big of a deal. Such a little sin mentioned here, along with being haters of God. Greed is covetousness. As we look here, as Paul is listing all these things, again, right in the beginning portion of this list, he talks about covetousness. He talks about, in the midst of this list, pointing out that there are people that are haters of God, all kind of joined together in talking about sinful behavior. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17 down to verse 24, we talk about how we need to make a transformation in our life, putting aside the old man. And as we look at this, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, beginning there, "This I say," as Paul says, "this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul, as he's talking about a transformation needing to be made, he points out you're not supposed to be like the rest of the Gentiles walking through them. Again, looking at verse 19, who have given to work all in cleanness with greediness. And again, as we read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, we talk about greediness. The Bible speaks on these. And again, we talk about the works of the lottery, or the talks about gambling. It feeds on greediness. Again, the idea of getting something for nothing. The picture of the lottery is getting everything you ever wanted and not having to work for it or have any effort into it. We go back and look at the page of time. We can go back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when man was driven out of the garden, it was told to Adam that we must work for our sustenance, for our food. With the sweat of your brow, you shall be able to eat bread. You're going to go and till in the garden. You're going to be working hard to be able to provide for your families. Then also, if you're there in the New Testament, we'll go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And as Paul is giving some instruction here, he points out about how we're to work for ourselves, how we're to be able to provide for ourselves. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 down to verse 12, he says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." Again, we're supposed to supply for ourselves, take care of ourselves. The Bible does not say that's not playing, but we are to be able to provide for our family. And again, looking at what some of the principles behind the lottery is that you put your money in and try to make more through this, or try to go through these different facets. And I have to work for it. There are people in life that do not work, that choose not to work. And they get their things taken care of by taking advantage of others. And that's a thief. Trying to take advantage of someone else. Not wanting to work, or you know, again, I know there's a difference between not able to work and not wanting to work. But one that does not want to work, that chooses not to work, that has full capability of doing this, and want to take advantage of it, it's being thieves. We're to work and receive our livelihood. You know, I've gotten into the practice more and more as I've gotten a little bit older. You know, I get phone calls from individuals wanting money. And one of the things I do, instead of just, you know, in a lot of circumstances, I don't try to just hand out the money. You know, come over to the house, or we'll go do this or that, and we'll work for it. Come with me, and we'll walk around a little bit, and we'll do some other types. Or, you know, I try to get into the practice. And I remember someone telling me that. I thought that is a good way of trying to encourage someone to be able to provide for themselves in this manner. We're to work and receive our livelihood, as Paul instructs in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 also, where it says here that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So again, we are to work. Do what we can to receive our livelihood, to provide for ourselves. Now also with this, kind of going along and looking and answering the question is again, let's look at what we read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 down to verse 11, is that we are to be content, or to practice contentment. You know, when you look at that, you know, I know that they show the one of those ticket things, or the Powerball, or whatever it is, say, well, Powerball's up to this amount now. It's, you know, 400, one time it was, what, about $500,000 a few months ago? Why do you think you need all that money? Are we not content with what God has truly blessed us with? You know, as we think about this, do we think we deserve more? You know, as we look in the Bible, talking about contentment, not all of us are 10-talent people. Over in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 down to verse 30. Now, we're not going to read all those verses, but I want to draw a point looking at one of those verses in particular in Matthew 25 and looking at the parable of the talents. If you'll turn over there to Matthew chapter 25, and in particular, we want to look at the first few verses together. Look at verse 14, verse 15. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately the master went on a journey." Each one of these individuals was given a measure according to their own ability. And even so, we have been given according to our own ability. We need to have the wise attitude of Agar. If you go back to the Old Testament with me, over into the book of Proverbs in particular, in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And look at verses 7 down to verse 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 down to verse 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 down to verse 9. Proverbs 30, beginning of verse 7, it says here, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Hagar is pointing out, you know, being blessed. We have been given and allotted with our own abilities, being able to provide for our families in different capacities. We all make different amounts, and we should be content and thankful. And I am. I speak about myself personally, remind myself personally how thankful and appreciative I am of being able to do what I can to provide for my family. And we need to have that type of wise attitude. To neither give me poverty nor give me riches. To be thankful and to be content with what we have been blessed with. Again, as Paul points out, we're to be content. We're to learn to find happiness in Christ, like Paul. If you go back to the New Testament with me, in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 down to verse 13. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have journeyed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was mentioned here. He went on and faced many different types of situations. There are times where he had abundance. There are times where he was in need. He thanks those here in Philippi that had done what they could to be able to help him in his work. And he says, I can be content. And then as we look at that, when he comes to the conclusion, after talking about all that he has been through and how he can be able to be thankful that he was able to have his aid when he needed it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, practicing contentment. Now, let's also kind of look at this again, just briefly. So we need to trust in God in looking at answering this question tonight. You know, one of the things I learned growing up and learning from that situation was that these things, you know, using your money is a waste on these different types of things. You use your money to be able to do different things with it, to be able to try to not show this greediness. You know, when a person desires to win the lottery, I mean, I know we probably have said, oh, if I could win the lottery. But when a person truly wants to try to do it and uses their monies to be able to try to do this, they may not say it, but silently it is proclaimed they have needs that God cannot meet. Over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 down to verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 down to verse 34. We read here, therefore, Matthew 6, verse 25, looking down to verse 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, we do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There are needs that God cannot meet when someone wants to try to do these things unfortunately. God has provided those things that we need in this life. Food, water, the basic needs of this life. You know, I'm not saying that that's all we need. You know, there are times where we have a different type of thing with, you know, using the computer or phone or vehicle or whatever it may be. We got to be able to have those things sometimes to function with our work and with our jobs. And sometimes we use it for leisure activity, and that's all right. But to go above and beyond, you know, looking at this saying, well, I need millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. I want to be able to have a lavish lifestyle and everything. And we're going to try to do it by playing the lottery. Well, we can see where that can draw and put some problems in our life. We've got to be able to put our trust in God, that he will supply those needs that we have in this life. We develop our trust in God. And we'll ask the question, how do we develop our trust in God? The God of heaven, that with the words of his mouth spoke all things into existence, as we've studied in our series of lessons in Genesis on Wednesday night, by his great power was able to make this world that we're able to live in from nothing, has also promised to never leave us or forsake us. We can be able to develop trust in God and see through his power that we have indeed been blessed. We can examine all the things that God has done for us in this life. Your home, your health, your talents. You've been blessed. As long as we have not wasted our talents, as long as we have not been like that one back there in Matthew 25 that buried his talents, as long as we're using what God has blessed us with to be able to try to do what we can in his kingdom, we're doing the best that we can. God knows our needs, as we read here in Matthew 6, verse 32. God knows that we have need of all these things. But first, as we look at verse 33 again, seek first the kingdom of God. We ask a question tonight, at the beginning of the lesson. Is gambling sinful? Well, I want to in turn ask a couple questions. Is covetousness a sin? Is greed a sin? Is materialism a sin? Is the love of money a root of all kinds of evil? I think we can all say yes to those things. We can answer yes to those things. An activity such as gambling would also fit in this criteria. Again, some people say, well, it's just that innocent $1 ticket. You know, it says, buy me $1, it's not going to break us. Is that truly what the point is? No. Just because someone may not go broke, it's wasteful, it's covetous. Greedy behavior is what's ascribed there. If we think $500 does make a difference, so you can use it any way you want, we can forget the lottery. We can do what we could and give it back to the Lord. And we can see great things accomplished that way. We as individuals got to be able to trust in God always. I hope it brings some insight in looking at some of this tonight and trying to answer this question. Maybe you had someone in your life that asked this question as well, and hopefully we can be able to have a little bit more insight to be able to share that answer and look at the Bible for this answer. It simply boils down to the statement Jesus said one time in the garden, "Your will, not mine, be done." We've got to be doing God's will. We've got to be obedient to God and trusting in God. If we can help anyone answering the invitation call tonight, we'll be glad to assist you, be glad to help you, be glad to do what we can. Brother Corrigan has selected our invitation song tonight, number 297. We are, if you're ready to prepare and meet God, we'll be glad to help you. If you're not ready to meet God, we'll be glad to help you also. Be able to encourage you, pray for you, do what we can to help you make your life right with God. If there's anyone that's subject to the invitation, need to make your life right with Him tonight, why not do it now? Why not do it tonight? And why not come forward and let me know how we can assist you? Do it now, while together, while we stand, and while we sing.